Thankful and rejoicing in that message that we have just heard. What a blessing for us to have a good preacher like Brother Luke come and be with us this morning and be a member here. We're so thankful for him and Sister Jessica. We love them. So glad they're here with us, as well as Brother Joe said, all of you. We're glad that all of you are here with us this morning. You know, Brother David Montgomery is supposed to preach for us Wednesday night on Zoom, and I'll have to ask him about the fuzzy figs, if he remembers that. But I'm sure he doesn't. But anyway, we are thankful for your presence and ask that you pray for us for a few moments with time we stand before you this morning. If you have your Bibles, like to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I'd like to read a few verses here, very familiar language, I'm sure. And this concerns when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I'm sure we can picture this scene in our mind. A lot of people have tried to represent what this looked like. Shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord comes, and the glory the Lord shines round about them, and they're afraid. You know, it's our natural tendency, it seems like, to be afraid. And sometimes we're afraid of something that is a great blessing, a great joy, a great source of comfort, and yet we're afraid of it. Well, they're afraid. The angel says, "Fear not." That's the first thing he says. What exactly they needed to hear. He says, "Because I bring you good tidings of great joy." Now, certainly we can always, all of us, relate to the joy that we have when a child is born. And what a blessing when the child's healthy, the mama's healthy, everything's well. But this is different. This is not just a child being born. This is a son being given. This is the Son of God coming into the world. And he says, "I bring you good tidings." You know, the word gospel, its meaning is good tidings, good news. This man, this angel, excuse me, is bringing them good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just to the Jews, not just to the nation of Israel. We as Gentiles, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, this is good tidings to us too. And this is it, verse 11. "For unto you..." Unto you, not to the angels, unto you, he says, "is born this day in the city of David," which is Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What did he say was born? A Savior. A Savior is born, and that Savior is Christ the Lord. Now, these men that Brother Luke read to us that came to Jesus asking, what must they do to have eternal life? What must they do to inherit eternal life? What must they do? You know, there's a lot of people out there still trying to do, still trying to make it on their own. But I'm going to tell you, it is not possible for you to save yourself from your sins. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, this is the angel Gabriel telling Joseph. He says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, there's the inheritance. There's the way that we are heirs. We are his people. We don't belong to ourselves. We're not our own. We are his people, you understand. You know, we can't control what family we're born into, but that's your people. Brother Luke talked about, you know, marrying, you know, and you getting the whole family, kit and caboodle. What? I'm going to tell you, some of us, I mean, we have family. I, you know, I enjoy being around them for a little while, I suppose, but that's just family, you understand. That just kind of comes with the territory. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to being the Lord's people, you are His people, whether you like it or not. You belong to Him. You're bought with a price. You are not your own. You're not your own person. You belong to the Lord, you understand. If you are His people, He came to save you from your sins. Turn me to Isaiah chapter 43, I believe. And I want to notice something with you here in Isaiah 43 that the Lord says, and this is an important lesson for us to know, to learn, in this verse, Isaiah 43, verse 11. And God is speaking here, and He says, I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. Boy, that's pretty clear language right there. God says, I am the Lord. And beside me, other than me, there is no Savior. There is no Savior besides the Lord. You know, in this context, we find that the nation of Israel have been worshiping idols and little g gods. And certainly they had worshipped and served all of them, but they haven't saved them one bit. They haven't helped them one bit. And I'm going to tell you, even today, we can look to other things to save us. We can look to over here to save us or over there to save us. I'm going to tell you, according to Isaiah 43:11, God is the only Savior. If you need to be saved from something, He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one with the power and with the means and with the love to do it. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There's nowhere else we need to go and look to be saved from our sins except from the Lord. And He loved us so much that He sent His Son into this world to come and save us from our sins, as we see so beautifully declared in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He came to save His people from their sins. He's the Savior. He's the one who brings salvation. He's the one who the Bible calls is the rock of our salvation. He's the one that we look to save us. Matthew chapter 21. I want to notice what He says here. Actually, I may just go to Luke 19. It's also in all these other gospel accounts. Well, I'm going to go to Matthew 21. I know you're supposed to be a person who makes your mind up, but sometimes it's just hard to tell. But Matthew chapter 21, Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem. And He rides in a fulfillment of Scripture, riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And the multitude is there. And if you take all four gospel accounts together, you'll find why they're there. According to John chapter 12, they were there because Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days. And because of that, people came and they wanted to see Lazarus and they wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus comes riding in where all this has taken place and they are in the right state of mind, the right frame, their hearts are in the right place. And He comes riding in, and this is what happens. They put branches in front of Him as He comes riding in. This is in verse 8. They cut all down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. Verse 9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're singing Hosanna to the Lord. Why are they singing Hosanna, and what does that mean? Well, if you look up the word Jesus, the reason the angel told him to name Jesus, give Him that name, is Jesus means Jehovah saves. He's the Savior. He has this name that He's given because He is the Savior, you understand. Well, here they're crying Hosanna to the Son of David. That word Hosanna means save us. Save us. They are crying to the Savior to save them. Oh, I tell you, even in this very moment, in this very day, you and I stand in need of saving from things. We need a salvation every day. How many times, I thought about as we were exchanging gifts here with our family, that you have, every one of those gifts, you have a giver and a receiver, don't you? Well, Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. A lot of times we kind of have that backwards and we are more wanting to receive than to give. I'm going to tell you, I think growing up, every year on my birthday, I got in trouble and got a spanking. Because why? I was in that receiving mode. Boy, I was, well, give me this, give me that. I don't like that. Oh, I'm ungrateful for that. Boy, I tell you, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But one thing I saw in that gift exchange, is if you have a gift that you really want someone to have, I got an Apple Watch here, and my children were wanting me to open that present, and I just kept holding on to the last. I didn't know what was in it. I said, we're going to wait on this one. They just kept asking, you going to open that? You going to open that? I finally opened it. And just the look on the face of the receiver when they get that surprise gift from you. Isn't that a great blessing? Isn't that something we treasure? But I'm going to tell you, every day, the Lord gives us gifts. Every day. And wouldn't it be a tragedy for us to just take them for granted, be ungrateful, unthankful, don't even thank the Lord for what He's done for us. I mean, we wake up and we have got good health. We wake up and we've got, as Brother Danny prayed, a nice home to live in. We have a job to have, nice, reliable cars, and we are able to get from point A to point B safely. All these things are a gift from God. And yet, we take them for granted. We don't thank the Lord. We don't turn to the Lord and rejoice. Here, they are in the right place at the right time and crying the right message to the Savior to save them, and that's what He came to do. Oh, I tell you, that angel, he came to those shepherds and told them, unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior. That tells me it must be the Lord. The Lord said, beside me there is no Savior. I am the only Savior. And He says it's Christ the Lord. That's the one who's born in Bethlehem this day. It's Christ the Lord. If you turn me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to notice what he says here very quickly in this verse. And these verses are really hard. I know Brother Luke talked about the Good Samaritan. There's a lot of good stuff there and hard to pass that by. And here in this chapter, there's a lot of good things and it's hard to pass by. But we'll just very quickly start in verse 8. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who hath, this is past tense, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh, I tell you, our doctrine is wrapped up in 2 Timothy 1:9. All this to happen before the world began, that was given to us and wrapped up in His love and His own purpose and grace. All this happened before the world began. But it says, He saved us. Now notice, Matthew 1:21 says, He shall save, future tense, His people from their sins. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us. Whatever He came here to do, He did it. In fact, I want to point you to John 19:30, where Jesus on the cross at Calvary says, it is finished. I'm going to tell you, I believe He finished the work that God gave Him to do. He saved us from our sins right there on the cross. I'll tell you, the Savior came to save. He saved His people from their sins. But I'll tell you, Jesus is a complete Savior. He didn't just save us from our sins. He saved us from all of our enemies. He saved us from the devil. He saved us from death. He saved us from whatever enemy we have. He saved us from our enemies. And He's still saving us today. In fact, in James chapter 5, He says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. He says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Didn't say heal the sick. That does happen, but it doesn't always happen. But it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You know, if anyone asks you if you're saved, that's an incomplete question, because you need to know saved from what? Saved to what? When it comes to what Jesus came to do for us on the cross at Calvary, He saved us from hell, the result of our sins, and to heaven. Our loved ones who've gone on and passed on, we have this comfort to know this morning. If they're in heaven today, it's because Jesus saved them from their sins. Oh, I tell you, that's a blessed thought. That's a blessed, comforting thought to know that our loved ones are in heaven with the Lord, and we'll be with them one day because Jesus saved us from our sins too. He is a complete Savior and even saves us daily in the things that we face in this life. I want to go back to Luke chapter 2 very quickly. As this angel was not alone, he gave them a sign. They'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But verse 13 of Luke 2 says, "And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest." You know, I think about, we're here to give glory to God. What's the purpose of our life? You know, it's not to entertain ourselves. It's not to follow our heart and follow our dreams or follow this or follow that. The purpose of our life is to glorify God. And the Lord will lead you where in the places you'll go to give glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. You know, isn't it's good to be a part of our local communities and things happen there. But, you know, people may know you in the local community. But what about up in Jackson at the state? They may know you there. I'm sure they don't know me, but they may know you. But what about in Washington, D.C.? Well, they may... I'm not sure. Does anyone known in Washington? I just really don't think. I mean, you might be more well known than I give you credit. But I'm gonna tell you, giving glory to God at the local level, at the state level, at the national level. No, glory to God in the highest. There is no higher place than where the Lord is in heaven on His throne. Glory to God. When we get to heaven, all the mayors and the governors and the presidents, they're not going to be getting glory like the Lord is getting glory. In fact, I think we'll all be the same up there. I don't think anybody's going to be getting glory up there except the Lamb of God who saved us from our sins. Glory to God in the highest. You can get glory here on earth. You can maybe even get on television and do something special and maybe get some glory that way. But I'm going to tell you, all that glory pales in comparison to the glory that God gets in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. You know, I believe that expression, peace. I wish I had some time to delve into that. But on earth, peace. The reason there's going to be peace on earth is because the Prince of Peace was just born. Jesus, according to Ephesians 2, is our peace. Why is there peace on earth? Well, because Jesus, our peace, is right here on earth. And in Luke 19, they said peace in heaven. You know, we have peace in heaven and on earth because of the work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And here He is on earth. And it says, goodwill toward men. I'm thankful this morning to tell you, as Brother Luke pointed out, there are ways in which we sin and we do it all inside. That the way if we hate our brother without our cause all the reasons Brother Luke listed there from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, we are sinners in the sight of God. But oh, I want to praise this morning the amazing grace of the Lord and His abundant mercy and His love towards us, who sends goodwill towards us. Oh, we are undeserving of it. If we're really honest with ourselves and how sinful we are undeserving of the least of the Lord's blessings. Yet He sends His goodwill toward men. I'm thankful this morning to tell you the greatest gift that we've ever been given, the gift of the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was given to us and now we have salvation. Now we come to the house of God, as he says in Isaiah 12, and with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation, and we drink one more time. I'm going to tell you, it refreshes my soul to sit here under the sound of Brother Luke preaching, teaching us all these things about our inheritance, and knowing that we have an inheritance waiting for us that we can't even begin to imagine what it must be like. Oh, I'm thankful for the Savior that came and saved us so that we can be fit to be in heaven's pure world for all eternity, praising his wonderful name. I thank you for your good attention this morning.